I'm glad to be here tonight. Glad the Lord got me up moving around. And I'm especially glad that I get to see y'all. Because I done missed y'all since Sunday. Because y'all are the smiling faces that I get to see. Y'all are the one thing that's sane about everything I deal with all week. Yep, y'all are the one thing that keeps me sane. Of course, God worked it out that way, I'm sure. But I am very glad to be here and able to be here. We're in Genesis chapter 46. Yep, Genesis chapter 40. It was time just flying by. Next thing we'll be in Ezekiah or somewhere. If you could find that one. Some people used to tell you to turn the book Ezekiah. But anyways. And Israel took his journey with all that he had. He was told, don't worry about all that stuff, but he took it anyways. Can't blame the guy. I kind of like my stuff too. With all that he had. I think they was talking about his children and his family members though and everything like that, most part. And he came to Beersheba. And he offered sacrifices unto God his father. Of his father Isaac. So even though he's going into Egypt, even though he's got all of his family with him, he stops at Beersheba, and he's already had an altar there before, and he knows that Isaac's sacrificed there before, and so he's going to make a sacrifice to the God of his father Isaac, which we know is his God also. But the thing is to point back to where it comes from, just like hopefully our family members, after they get saved, are still worshiping the same God or think they're worshiping the same God that we are. Because there's a lot of people out there that like to twist things up a whole lot. But he made sacrifices. And it says, and God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am I. So we see that he calls him twice. First of all, to make it important that he's not having a regular dream or something like that, but he's really being talked to by God. He's really getting his attention. At least he didn't say, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. That'd be a scary if he did it a third time. But to let him know, says, I'm really calling you, Jacob. You need to pay attention, Jacob. What I'm going to tell you is real, Jacob. You need to get a handle on this because I am the God of your fathers. You just made a sacrifice to me. You just made an offering to me. And now I'm going to tell you some things that's going to happen to you. He says, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God. I like the way it's always, the men always say, here am I, but God always says, I am. If you ever catch that, there's always a difference in the way that the men say what they're doing, and God says, I am. And then he says, I am God, Jehovah, the Creator. The God of all living things. I am God, the God of thy father, who is the God of all living things. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Fear not to go down into Egypt. Because I'm sitting here, I know he's going his way there, and I know he wants to see Joseph. I know he's happy and all that. But there had to be some kind of thing in the back of his head saying, Isaac wasn't allowed to go to Egypt. Now my grandpa stepped over there for a little while and it wasn't that great, but Isaac was told, you don't go to Egypt. But now, Lord, it looks like you're sort of pushing me towards Egypt. If we don't go to Egypt, we're going to starve to death. Now, Lord, if this is not the right thing, if this is the thing we're going to be doing, you need to sort of let me see some kind of something to go by. He says, fear not to go down into Egypt. For I will there make thee a great nation. Right now he's about 70 something people. For 200 years since Abraham started, God started Abraham, should I say, they've only made it to 70 something people. But in the next 400 years, they're going to make it to 600,000 or nearly a million people. So in a matter of 200 years, they went from 0 to 70, or from 2 to 70. Because if it takes you 100-something years to have a child, that kind of pushes it that away. But the thing is, in the next 300 to 400 years, they're going to grow into a mighty nation. I'll make thee there a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt. In other words, you're not leaving. There ain't a border there that stops me. I'm going to go down there with you, Jacob. Where you're going, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there with you. I will go down with you, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And some people say, well, yeah, when he died, they wrapped him all up and they brought him back and buried him with Sarah. But he's not just talking about, I'm going to bring you back into the land of Canaan personally. He's talking about, I'm going to bring your whole nation back again at a certain time, at a given place. And I will bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hands upon thine eyes. And back then, and of course it'll be in all the cowboy movies, I know y'all see cowboy movies, when the person dies, they would take their hands and go over their eyes and shut their eyes. And that's what it's referring to, that when you die, your son Joseph is actually going to be the one who closes your eyes when you go to sleep. He will put his hands upon your eyes. He says, and he shall put his hands upon thine eyes. And Joseph rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel, and carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So as soon as he got through sacrifice, as soon as he got through getting his instructions from God, he says, all right, I've got word. We're going to Egypt. Get back in the wagons. Load the children up. Load the women folks up. We've been furnished a ride and a way to get there. Let's all get in the buggies and let's go. He said he rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father. The sons of Israel. They were all working as a team now. They were all liking each other a little bit, getting along with each other a little bit. The sons of Israel carried him to bring him to Joseph, and Joseph was there. And they had the wagon, and they took their cattle. Now, naturally, they're not going to leave their cattle behind. You need your cattle. Plus, you got to have your sheep and all that. If you're a shepherd, you show up in Egypt after a while saying you're a shepherd, and you ain't got no sheep. They're going to say, huh? If you're going to be a shepherd and claim to be a shepherd and a good shepherd, you're going to bring some sheep with you. So they even brought their sheep and their cattle, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan. And came to Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. In other words, he says he brought, as we mentioned last week or week before last, when we rapture out, when God calls us home, he's not going to leave a single one behind. And right here in this very verse, he says he brought all his with him. Now, we're talking about all the ones that are actual Hebrew, actual blood of Jacob. Now, we don't know how many servants or whatever may have also came, but the count here is for actual how many Hebrews goes into Egypt. Because we know in Acts chapter 7 verse 14, I think, that Stephen talks about them coming out, and he says they were 70 something people. And when you make the count, everybody who was in Egypt made 70 something people, but it wasn't 70 something people that went into Egypt. Three of them were already there. Joseph and his two sons were already there. So they didn't get counted. So you take 70, you got about 67 people that came with him into Egypt. And we know that and the other son of Judah both died because he was disobedient to the Lord. And so everybody gets reckoned here, don't all get to go into Egypt. So we sit here and we say about the cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and they came into Egypt, and all his seed with him, talking about his seed, Jacob's seed, and his son's sons with him, his daughters, and his son's daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. So it says here that every blood child and every grandchild, and if there was any great-grandchildren, they came with him that were alive. He didn't leave one said, I'm not going to move. No, they all moved together. They all went in together. It says all the sons' sons, and the daughters. And when it says daughters, we know Dinah was the only real, true single daughter. But when it says daughters here, that counts granddaughters and daughters all together. So they said, and his daughter and daughters, in the plural, and he brought them into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt: Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. So we know that Reuben went in. He was the firstborn. And the sons of Reuben, and it looks like they always start with the head guy, and they name all his kids, and then they go to the next guy. So Reuben gets called out first, and they named his sons. And the sons of Reuben, Hanok, and Phallu, and Hezron, and Carmi. And the sons of Simeon, Jibeul, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, and the sons of a Canaanitish woman. And the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, and Perez, and Perez. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamuel. So when you go back then, you look at that verse right there, we know that and Onan had died. We know that Shelah, as far as we know, didn't have sons, but Perez and Zerah were the sons of Judah himself by Tamar. And their sons were Hezron, the oldest one was Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar, Tola, and Phuva, and that's not the way that's supposed to be said, it's really a short word, but I can't remember what it goes, and Job and Shimron. And the sons of Zebulun, Zerid, and Elon, and Jaleel. These are the sons of Leah, which she bare to Jacob in Padan Aram, and his daughter Dinah. All these souls of his son and the daughters were 33. Now all these were the first children born to Leah. So all those that were named, of course we know there were 33 of them named, but two of them don't get to count because they're dead already. But there were 33 named that went alive, or went there, and it names Dinah here, and all these were the sons and daughters of Leah, the first wife. Well, actually, the pushed on wife, or the one that he didn't really want, but he got anyways. Because Rachel, his darling, Rachel. So, anyway, we'll get to Rachel in a minute. And the sons of Gad, Ziphon, and Hegi, and Shuni, and Ezbon, and and Erodi, and Erel. The sons of Asher, Jimna, and Isha, and Izu, and Biri, and Sarah, their sister. So Sarah, their sister, and sons of Bera, Heber, and Malchiel. These were the sons of Zipha, who Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, for these bare unto Jacob even 16 souls. So first of all, we get to see all the children of Leah, and then of course Leah had a maid who became a concubine to Jacob, and all the sons that she had. And we're seeing them in the order of birth here pretty much, how they go and what they were grouped on to. And so far, all these were all the children that he had from folks he just got by necessity, more or less. 16 souls. And the sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife. Now we know that he married, or was, all four of these women were considered his wives, but the Bible says that Rachel, Jacob's wife, that's the one he made the deal with to marry. That's the one he thought he went into when he went in that night. That's the one he chose for himself to be married to. The other ones were put on him. Leah was sort of tricked into her, and the other ones, because they were quarreling and arguing about who was going to be the most fabulous wife, gave the concubines to him. which if he'd have probably got Rachel to begin with straight up, he'd have never done any, had any of the rest of the relationship. But God's providence and God's sovereignty worked all these things out, because we got to have 12 patriarchs. So God still worked it out. But anyway, and Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. Those were the only two Rachel had. And one of them she'd had while she was dying, or died having him. One, two sons. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt, and that's where you got to watch these things, and unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim. So these didn't come in with them because they were already there. So when you make these counts, you got to keep all these things straight. When it says so many souls went in with him, Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim were already there. They didn't have to go anywhere. And Ephraim, and these were, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. So these two sons were born to Joseph by the Egyptian woman who was the daughter of the priest of On. And the sons of Benjamin. And everybody think, well, Benjamin would have been too young, but I mean, the last time we calculated Benjamin's age, he's right up about 30 years old, best I can calculate. So he's plenty old enough to have children. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela and Becher and Ashbel and Gera and Naaman and Nea and Rosh and Muffin and Huffin and Ard. And if you had to call them to come to supper, you might have that all twisted up. But this old boy, he believed in having children. He started off just getting him a pile of them. So Benjamin had lots of children, lots of sons. He started out with a good family. And these are the sons of Rachel, which were born unto Jacob. All the souls were 14. So while Rachel had two sons, by the time all the head counts were come up, when you count all the children of Benjamin, all the children of Joseph, and Joseph and Benjamin, you have 14 souls right there just from Rachel. And if that kind of count goes on after about 430 years, you got a pile of folks coming along. Then it says, and the son of Dan, Hushim. It didn't sound like he had a whole pile of children there. And the son of Naphtali, Jahzeel, and Guni, and Jezer, and Shillem. These were the sons of Bilhah. That was the other concubine of Rachel, which Laban gave to Bilhah, which Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were seven. So even Bilhah had seven souls that went into Egypt. And all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. That's 66. That's a bad number. We got to get over that one. 66. So there were 66. And then it says, and the sons of Joseph, which were born to him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. So now we have, if you add them all together, you've got 70, so that's 70. My math's getting crazy. And he sent Judah. And he sent Judah before him. Well, you got to count. You got to lose two for dead. We'll get there in a minute. Anyways, he sent Judah before him into Joseph to direct the face of Goshen, and they came to the land of Goshen. So first of all, Judah was the one who made the deal with Joseph back in. Judah made the deal with Joseph to take his place, Benjamin's place, if he couldn't bring him back. And so while they're communing in all this, undoubtedly Jacob thinks Judah would be the better one to go ahead, because if you remember, Reuben slept with his concubine. Reuben wasn't on good terms with Jacob. And then Simeon and Levi went and killed all those folks at Shechem. So that leaves Judah to be the next guy to sort of be the powerhouse or the good spokesman or the one who was trying to do right. And being that he would have took Benjamin's place, if that's where he would have done, he says, you go ahead. You've already got a rapport with Joseph. You go ahead and you secure us a place there in Goshen where we're going to go, and you make sure everything is all right and okay. So he sends Judah ahead to direct his way into Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot. He's sitting here counting the days, watching the winders and everything else, and he makes ready his chariot. I'm sure he ordered that done by sending his servants out to get his chariot all loaded up and ready to go. And he made his chariot ready, and he went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and to present himself unto him. And he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. So he rides up there to Goshen, where his father's coming across the border there going in, and he sees his father, and instead of sitting there and saying, okay, Dad, you come up, bow down to me, whatever, and show your respect and all that, he runs up and he just bear hugs his daddy and starts crying like a baby probably. And I'm sure his daddy's bear hugging him back, and they sitting there, and it doesn't say he's a little quick, kind of a scared to be looked at thing, but they hugged and cried and hugged and cried for a good while. In fact, if you'd been watching the soap opera from the side, you say, all right, guys, that's enough. Because they've been hugging and crying and hugging and crying for a while. They missed each other. Jacob loved Joseph. And Joseph loved Jacob. He didn't care who was watching him cry or anything else, because they were probably out in the broad open daylight right there. He just jumps off his chariot, just, Daddy. And the other one, Son. And they're crying. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die. Now that ain't like he's sitting there and, well, I'm ready to go now. But he's content with the fact that I have now seen my son and he's alive, he's well, he's okay. If I do have to die, or whenever you're ready for me, Lord, I can go down to my grave content now, because before, I thought he was dead already. I even was afraid that Benjamin was going to be dead already. But now, I can go, let me die since I have seen the face, because thou art yet alive. I am so glad that you're alive. You have outlived me. The greatest thing for a dad or whatever is to think that I'm going to go before my son goes. Or for mom too. I want to go before my daughters go or whatever. Because we don't want to sit there and live, do all that, go through all that pain. He has outlived his son, which he thought was dead, which in his heart he had already figured was gone. He said, now I can die. And Joseph said unto his brethren, and unto the father's and in his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which are in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. In other words, Pharaoh already heard about you coming. Pharaoh's already given me direction to get you with the wagons and to get that stuff ready. Now I need to make sure that I come tell Pharaoh that you have arrived. I need to make sure that Pharaoh understands you're here. And that you're going to be okay. And that you're in Goshen. And there's a reason you're in Goshen. Excuse me. So I'm going to go tell Pharaoh, saying to him, my brother and my father, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. Right now I would say he is nourishing his family. He is the sustainer of his family. He was sent into Egypt to preserve life. Not just for his family, but also for the Egyptians and everybody else. He said, now I'm going to go tell Pharaoh. I'm going to go make an account to let him know that my family is here in the land of Goshen. Away from your other people, separate a little bit, all this for a reason, but they're over here in Goshen. That way they won't be upsetting the apple cart for everybody else living everywhere else. He says that you have come unto me, and the men are shepherds. Now in the last verse here it says because the Egyptians couldn't stand or abhorred shepherds, but we know good and well they had some kind of shepherds or something in Egypt. Somebody had to keep all them cows and flocks and stuff. But it says here that he told them, he says, and the men are shepherds. In other words, he says, make sure that you tell Pharaoh if he calls you up what your occupation is. Your occupation is shepherd. Don't tell him you're an engineer. Don't tell him you're a welder. Don't tell him you're a barn builder. Don't do anything like that, because if you're a shepherd, then they're going to keep us all in one place, in one area. That way we'll be protected and separated from the world. That's Israel being separated from the world of Egypt. And because they'd all, well, I lay bricks. Oh, come on, I got a job for you over on this side of town. Oh, I'm an iron worker. Well, they'd all been separated, spread out all over town. But because they were all shepherds, they were all kept out there in that nice green valley, playing with them sheep and them cows and stuff like that. And God in his sovereignty says, I'm going to separate you and put you apart from them, and yet I'm going to put you in them where you can stay alive. So we are in the world, but we're not of the world. He says, you tell them you're a shepherd. Well, we're not the shepherd, but we're the sheeps. So we have a shepherd. Tell them you're a shepherd, and your trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. In other words, we even brought our own pedigree stock. And we're going to just go up here in Goshen. We're going to feed our cows. We're going to play our banjos on the hillside. We're not going to bother y'all. We're just going to stay here till the famine is over. Thing is, they stayed longer than the famine. They didn't load up and leave. And it doesn't really say why they never loaded up and leave. They just got content and happy there, I reckon, up until that next Pharaoh came, who was a bad. They kind of got happy in the world, as you could say, or satisfied. They had to be called back out. They had to go through some strife and some temptations and stuff like that. But says, you tell them that your occupation, you are shepherds, and your trade is to feed cattle. And they have bought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you, you shall say, what is your occupation? And when you look Pharaoh in the eye, you say, I'm a shepherd. And he's going to cringe kind of like and look at you kind of funny, and because he's going to abhor you because you're a shepherd. But he's going to say, okay, well, you go out there in Goshen with your sheep. I'm glad you're here to see Joseph. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad for Joseph. He's been a great old guy. But you guys just stay over there, out of the way. What is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from their youth even until now. In other words, we ain't done nothing but shepherd. We've been doing cows and sheep since we came. We don't know nothing but sheep. That's all we know. So our trade have been nothing, been about cattle from our youth until now, both we and our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So in other words, they couldn't, for some reason, they just didn't like shepherds. That may have been that they were some Canaanite shepherds that they didn't like way over there. But these were not Canaanite shepherds. These were Israelites. And all of them, we know good and well that wasn't because they didn't eat meat, and it wasn't because they didn't eat food, even though all their gods were gods of frogs and everything else. It wasn't because they were killing a god. They just didn't like shepherds. Then came Joseph and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. In other words, you told me to go get them. Once you heard they were alive, once you heard they were here, you said, get the wagons, get the stuff, get everything done. I'm coming to you, Pharaoh, to say, I have done as you commanded me to get done. Everything is in order. Everybody's in place. There wasn't a single one left behind, and they're all in Goshen. I have kept your command, Pharaoh, and I have done what God has called me over here to do to bring my folks out alive. He says, and they're all in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. In other words, he didn't bring everybody at one time, but he brought five of his brothers to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? Joseph had already said they're going to ask you. Joseph had already said they're going to quiz you about what you know how to do. What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants. In other words, they said, they acknowledge you're Pharaoh. You're the king. You're over all this stuff. We're your servants. But it says, thy servants are shepherds. We don't know nothing else to do. We don't know how to build houses. We don't know how to lay brick. We don't know how to weld welding. We don't know how to do ironwork. We're just shepherds. In the old days, you might call that a cowboy or something like that. That's all we know how to do is rope, ride, and run. There we go. We are shepherds. Both we and also our father. In other words, even our father has been nothing but a shepherd. So they're setting the Pharaoh up to say, well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad everything's all right. But we don't like you a lot. I mean, you're a shepherd. We had horse shepherds. We kind of, y'all stank. We take a bath two or three times a week. Y'all just sit out there in the field all the time or something. I don't know. They just don't like them. And they said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we coming out. We didn't come to stay. We're not here to build big houses and stay here forever and ever and ever. We just came to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flock. In other words, Pharaoh, we appreciate what you're doing for us. We appreciate where you got us at. But look, a couple, 3 years, this famine's gone. We're out of here. We ain't hanging around. We just coming to visit. We don't plan on building no big house or anything like that. Taking up too much land. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, we pray thee, let thy servant dwell in the land of Goshen. In other words, being that we're not suitable to live all over the place with everybody else, how about you just let us stay in Goshen? We won't bother nobody. We'll just raise our sheep. We'll just get along. Make children and more children and more children. Of course, that wasn't what they said here, but that's what they did. Till they made nearly 600,000 of them children. Took them 400 years to do it. Says, and Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee, and the land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. They didn't just get no straggly piece of property. And you got to figure, this is the middle of a drought. There's no great growth of anything going on. But somewhere in the middle of Egypt, there was this one valley or one neighborhood where they still had grass. And they still had water. And they still had the ability to grow a little something and sustain a little something. He said, in the best of the land. They still had a little bit of something going on there at Goshen. Although the famine was bad, that group had it a little bit better than everybody else. Because all their ground was as hard as a rock, you couldn't even plow it. But in Goshen, you could still grow grass. How you going to feed all them sheep if you ain't got no grass? You got to have some grass. Of course, I guess God could have had little grass manas fall out of the sky every night. I don't know. He could have. Don't never say that he did, but But he could have. Y'all catch that after a while. Them grass manners. All right. Anyways. Thy brethren dwell in the land of Goshen, and let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. In other words, we found, when Joseph came to us, we said, is there anybody wise enough to take care of all of this Egypt stuff? Now, if Joseph did that good over the corn and over the drought and over keeping all these people alive, you guys surely know how to handle my cows and make my cows prosper and my goats prosper and my sheep prosper and all those things. He said, if any man of activity among them, make them rulers over my cattle. But he didn't put them over building projects and stuff like that, because their occupation was cattle. That way they could stay together all in one place. And Joseph brought Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Didn't Abraham bless Melchizedek? The lesser's blessed by the greater. No, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. But everybody thought Abraham was the, but Melchizedek was the one at that time. But it says here that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Jacob gave him greetings, gave him blessings, lifted him up before God. It says, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And y'all going to say, well, how old was he? Well, we'll see. He says, how old art thou? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage, I could tell he just spit that right out, are 130 years. He's 130 years old right now, and he's going to live 17 more years, if I'm not mistaken. He's 130 years old, and he says, they've been long, they've been hard. He says, the days of my years are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of my years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my father in the days of their pilgrimage. So we know that Abraham lived to be, what, 185? And Isaac was he was on up there about 160, 170. He was up there 175 anyways. So he's still a child. At 130, he still got about 40 or 50 more years to go before he gets to what they were. He says, and I'm not even as old as they are. And they were pretty well old, and they pretty well lived the life that they wanted to live. He says, and I have not attained unto the days and the years of the life of my father in the days of their pilgrimage. In other words, my life's been rough. And if you remember how he spent his life with Laban, working 7 years for one wife, 7 years for another wife, and then 7 years for the sheep and all that stuff. And every time he turned around, Laban was changing the rules. His life was not that fabulous after he got to be a young man out there. He says, but I have not attained yet unto what my father's been to say. If he makes, he won't be but 150, 70 more years, he won't be but 146. He still won't make it as old as they did in my pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and he went out from before Pharaoh. So even when he came in, he blessed him. He answered the man's questions. He told him how old he was. He told him what his occupation was. He told him how he had struggled and strived to get to where he's at. He told him that he was not even near as old as his father and his grandfather. And then he blessed Pharaoh again. He blessed him again. And we're going to stop there. I just can't go no farther. I've got to stop there. All right.